I mean, it's the day before Thanksgiving. It doesn't get much better in any time of year than when the holidays start rolling in. Thanksgiving football, great dinners, family, good times. Sam Batesh, as always, joins us for a weekly Hey, How Are You? With our good friend. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. It is great to see everyone. Thank you for being here. Like and subscribe. You know, with it being 49ers-Browns next week, Sammy, it's too bad that that happened in Thanksgiving week and Siciliano's hard to pin down in the first place, because we would have really liked to talk to him this week, but I guess we'll do a recap with him. How about that?
We definitely can. And his experience in Vegas, I can't wait to get all of the specifics and the particulars from him about Vegas, because he and I actually need to catch up on that. It was an epic week. Obviously, JT the Brick and Siciliano, two very good friends of ours at that one in Vegas, where the Browns fans were fired up, Dion in the house, Shador with the win. I mean, by the way, is that the first Browns rookie QB to win his first start since Couch, I believe, 95.
That's incredible.
And we know there's been a lot of rookie quarterbacks for the Browns in that time. So, wow.
You know what's almost the more amazing stat, though, is that the 49ers have not won in Cleveland since 1984. Now, obviously, they don't go there frequently, but that's
still a
lifetime almost. So,
it seems near impossible with what those Browns teams have been over the years, too.
An awful lot coming up in the near future for the 49ers and Browns, and we're going to be talking about it a little bit before Sunday gets here. But look, we're not going to do a show on Thursday. We'll see what the Friday status is. It's Thanksgiving week. So, you know, roll with us, everybody.
Yes.
It's really good to have you here. Let's just start with the fact we want to always say, my man Ike of Ike Sandwiches has something absolutely delicious waiting for absolutely everybody out there. And nobody wants to do any cooking, right, the day before Thanksgiving. Get yourself to Ike's. Get yourself to Ike's today for a sandwich. Pick up a sandwich for tonight. You don't need a big dinner tonight. You're about to have the biggest dinner of the freaking entire year tomorrow night. So get yourself to Ike's. As you know, Sammy, because you, maybe not anymore like me, because you're a married man with a kid.
It's different.
But you used to get down. And if you get down, you know that Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, one of the biggest bar nights of the year, head to the Dubliner West Portal. I'm sure it'll be a gathering of locals. This is when you come back from your first year of college and hook up with your ex-high school girlfriend that you decided you had to break up with. But, you know, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, we're thankful for that. And it really is. I had a buddy tell me on the way in today, you know, hey, look, yeah, we're thinking about going. I'm telling you, I'm bringing my girl. They just got married. I'm bringing her Wednesday night. There's this big block party. I'm like, you're bringing your girl to like the Wednesday night hookup? Like, you cannot do that.
What are you doing?
So that's just amazing. It is, because that's really what we all remember from those. That Wednesday night is a classic. So the Dubliner should be going off. That's a great one.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's like bringing sand to the beach. You don't do that.
Right, yes,
you just don't do that. Anyway, thank you to everyone for being here, and thanks to Sleeper. I mean, we're going to have Thanksgiving games to play tomorrow. You got big parlays to put together.
Yes.
Do it over on Sleeper and use promo code Damon, and do it on the link in the description of the very video that you're watching right now. And boom, what do you know? Everything will be wonderful for you over on Sleeper. Gamble responsibly, of course, at all times. Now, Sam. Let's talk a little bit about the topic du jour here in Northern California, and certainly 49er fans. Today's thumbnail is entitled How to Brock. And look, we've done way too many shows having to explain why he's good. Really have. It's a little embarrassing. The reason why people doubt him, there's some equal moving parts to it. First of all, the draft position. You always got to doubt the final pick of the draft. That's a natural, normal thing to do, right?
Totally.
There is biased information. There's misinformation. There is a group of journalists who were just so pro-Trey. They were anti anyone else. Therefore, anyone else not named Trey Lance was the wrong guy. And even when Trey Lance proved himself to be the wrong guy and everyone else proved themselves to be better than him, they never even came off that position. So like there's the, I don't like Brock no matter what he does. He could babysit my kids crowd. I wouldn't like him. There's a part of that out there. There are, you know, results, how he's succeeded, how he's failed. It's all wrapped up in a like Disney level of success and movie and nice guy that people, you know, kind of love to shit on. They do, you know, let's throw darts at the Boy Scout, but let, you know, cocky a-holes peacock around the locker room as much as they want. There's a lot of information coming from a lot of different places. So it leads to an awful lot of confusion on Brock Purdy. Agree or disagree, Sammy?
I agree. And unfortunately, you and I have been the cheerleaders here. And Monday night provided an opportunity to finally call either one of us and say, now what do you got? Now, of course, the outcome of the game is important. There was a, I believe it was a 2nd and 7 in the 7th quarter where it was every bit of Brock to me. 2nd and 7, not a scramble, but almost a play that looked designed. He certainly had the option to run and he beautifully executed that play, picked up the first down. It's a play that we see Jalen Hurts make a lot, Josh Allen, but Brock Purdy is just as capable, not just capable, he excels at that kind of a play. The problem is it's a first half in which Brock threw 3 and what even you could say should have been 4 interceptions in a game against an opponent that none of us had circled as, wow, here comes the 1985 Bears. So that is of concern. The easiest way for us to get around it and to say that we're not incredibly concerned would be to say that there is a rust factor and certainly the idea that Brock has been injured and may still be having a lingering effect. And again, when your toe is in that situation, right, you're overcompensating in other areas. And so maybe there's something to that. But consistent to everything that was an interception and almost interception, ball was high, right? There was something to, right, Damon? There was something in it. Now, that tells me it's correctable because it's the same thing that's happening. But for you and I who have loved what Brock does, and he's so measured in his approach, and part of when you say that, you also mean someone who protects the ball. This is just one
where he's been protecting that ball a little less lately. There is no doubt about that. Isn't there something just totally beautiful here, though, Sam, that we're achieving? I think you and I a little like maybe there's some real concerns here and everyone is complaining about what they just saw in a win.
In a win.
That's part of it.
Like, in a win and a cover. A win and a cover, right? In the end, like really nothing to like nothing to write home about in the end.
A win over a team that was battling to move into first place in its own division and everybody just walks away going, oh my God, what's wrong? This is terrible. The other problem, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said the biggest problem with a concussion is that you can't see a concussion limp. Therefore, we really didn't understand the severity of the concussion, right? A concussion doesn't limp. So how hurt could you really be?
Right. Get out there. Yeah.
So conversely, the thing that Brock Purdy is great at are the things we don't really see. Brock is great at processing. He's great at team interaction. He's great at checking in and out of plays, getting out of the bad play, getting into the right play. He knows this offense. He's great at media interactions. And again, that's hard for the common person to see. And I'm not just talking press conference. I'm talking about off press conference, just walking around the locker room. Is this guy, does he turn into a jerk? He's a Boy Scout. He's great. He's great at all those things. This is exactly who you'd want to be your franchise quarterback. The truth is, this is without bias. This is without any. The truth is simply this. He's very good at being the 49ers quarterback. In the hierarchy of the league where he ranks who he is historically, where he ranks who he is, I don't care. He's very good at being the 49ers starting quarterback.
Yes.
I like him in that role. I want him to succeed in that role. And I have patience to wait through the learning curve, the shaking off the rust, if that's what you want to call it, Sam. I'm willing to wait for Brock to get right. But here is now my real concern. And this is the real concern that I had not felt before, you know, kind of thinking about it the last few days after reacting to that game. Because every quarterback is going to throw interceptions and bad balls.
Yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't concern me. Ugly throws, bad moments, a bad half of football. Every person in football qualifies to have a bad half. It just happens. To me, the real concern here, Sam, is, and I don't think this is an overreaction or a hot take, here's a guy who is not exactly defined by his supreme athletic ability and physical stature. And he has now added turf toe to nerve damage, to elbow surgery, with just the normal wear and tear that comes with playing in football. And I think that there is a price tag that eventually hits the table. The bill comes to the table. And for the first time, I'm looking at Brock as maybe a culmination of damaged goods. He says it wasn't the toe that was bothering him. Well, then that is concerning. I mean, I'm not asking for excuses here, but if you're telling me that those three interceptions were not turf toe related, we do have a problem.
Well, that's a bigger issue because it's less immediately correctable, right? The toe will heal, but what you truly are processing is a much bigger problem, right? We can make you definitively percentage points better as you get more healthy. That's something we can assign to you. You are now healthy. And again, this is not ACL recovery, right? This is not like, will you ever have that step again? The idea that Brock is losing speed based on recovering from this toe injury, if the toe is healthy again, he will be the same sort of mobile athlete that he is. And I already spoke about one of the best plays he made in the game was something that his mobility played a part in. But if this is about simply being figured out, or no longer having the processes that make you elite. And trust me, Brock, I will say, Brock's certainly at an elite dollar level, and we love him. We said he was in this elite class and is. I compared him to others who I don't think are there. You know, Tua is someone who, whether again, it's injury or processing or being able to figure it out on the field, Tua's not that guy. No one in Miami is excited about that $50 million check. Nobody thinks the future of that team is absolutely, definitively going to be through Tua. You and I said the future of this team is definitively through Brock Purdy. This is not a Mac Jones conversation because I will stand firm to what I said and what I believe in. Mac Jones has done his job for this team and don't go back to it asking him for more. Mac Jones turned in his assignment. Mac Jones is someone that you hire for that stretch of games to keep you afloat, and he has done that. Right. This is not about going back to that well.
It was hard, too. He wasn't just along for the ride on the group project. He really led the way.
But he's assigned for that project, period. The rest of the way, you want Mac in meetings, providing items, and helping Brock warm up on the sideline. That's what you want from him, and that's it. This is about getting Brock to that level. This team doesn't measure success on division titles, and even on wild card wins. And that's a high bar. And Mac Jones is not breaking through that ceiling. Brock Purdy gives the opportunity to break past that point. Divisional games and conference championship games and Super Bowls, those are Brock Purdy conversations. And that's what needs to be figured out right now. And luckily, the schedule, which we all said was the number one move of the offseason, was the schedule release. That's it. And now as you look through it, we're not coming off Carolina going, oh, wow, what are we going to do? It's Cleveland next. I will say one small thing. It was part of just saying last week. Myles Garrett has a game this season where he's got 3 sacks. It happened last week against the Raiders. Okay. By the way, Geno was sacked 10 times. That's amazing. Okay. But he's got a game where he's got 3 sacks. He's got a game where he's got 4 sacks.
Geno got sacked so many times, Chip Kelly got sacked.
Yes. Yeah, that is great. You're right. 10 and plus 1. We're going to add the plus 1 on Chip. But for Miles to have a game of 3, of 4, and of 5 sacks this season, that is a beware. That is, we should know, just in case, break glass, where are we going in that scenario? Because Miles is a common.
I think my favorite stat of the year, my favorite list of the year so far, it's NFL sack leaders. Ari Mirioff put this out. Miles Garrett leads the NFL with 18. Miles Garrett in the last 4 games is at 13. And then Brian Burns is at 13. I mean, that was before this week of play, by the way. So those numbers have changed a little. But it's insane. Wow. It's insane how good he is and how – look, Schwartz over Shanahan's got some ownage. Going to Cleveland, like I said, hasn't happened since 84. Something's in the air. Might be bad weather. Brock in bad weather. Brock already having concerns of planting and driving and floating balls. Okay, again – concerns are there. Every quarterback, Sammy, is running a race, actually 2 races. How quickly can I figure this out before my body breaks down? Yeah. That's really what the position, how quickly can I master what I'm doing and hopefully have the right team around me to really have overall team success? But how quickly can I figure this out before my body is pulverized and I can't come out here and do it anymore? The average length of an NFL player's career, by the way, I looked this up. We chat GPT'd this bad boy.
Let's go.
Forget about actual intelligence. I had to bring in the artificial intelligence for this one. The average length of an NFL player's career is often cited at 3.3 years. However, that's a misleading number because it includes any cup of coffee, who made a roster and then was cut by week two. The average career length, when you start focusing on established players, it is better than 3.3 years. For example, for a player who makes an opening day roster their rookie season, the average career length is closer to 6 years. For a player drafted in the first round, the average career length is closer to 9.3 years, almost 10 years. For a Pro Bowl player, you get over 11 years for an average career length. That's 11.7 years to play. Brock is going to season 5 next year. So we are, like, best case scenario, officially now at the halfway point. And if at the halfway point you're looking at diminishing returns on a body that is getting hurt now by the season, it feels like, that's my concern about Brock. It's never going to be one game, one interception. It's never even going to be 3.5 interceptions. Is Brock's body going to allow him to continue to do this at a level that means he is the right guy for the job at $50 million a year?
I want to put $50 million aside, and it's a tough number for people to stomach, but remember that Dak Prescott makes $60 million, and I was in Dallas this weekend, and I saw Dak every bit as good as he is against the Eagles, which I've often said. I think he earned that contract. Wait, largely against
that game?
I was at that game, so we can talk about that another time. We can wipe my tears another time. Yeah, so I was there. Dak Prescott in his career. Yeah, that was the score. Yes, yes. 21-0 turned into a 24-21 loss is tough to do. It was done this past weekend. But Dak Prescott is very good against the Eagles. And outside of that, I think a lot of Cowboys fans are looking for the receipt on $60 million. So I want to say that $50 million is just you're a quarterback that starts for your team more games than anyone else. That's right. What it is. It's $50 million. That's your entry point, period. End of story. Forget about where you were drafted. Brock Purdy is in that position. He should be in that position. And that is all. But it's the same conversation we're probably having now in Tampa. Is Baker Mayfield, like, is this shoulder now going to spell the end of the season for Tampa? And it very well might be. And on the other side of it, and we'll get to this when we talk about what we're thankful for, Joe Burrow is now coming back. Joe Burrow, who we put on a list of guaranteed as top four in this league from a quarterback conversation, and I still hold to him on the field as top four. The problem is I now have to say that. Went on the field.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow is now in the conversation of injured too often and injured too much in your career that we once said, to your point, was early in his career. And now with Burrow, he was in the Super Bowl in 2021. That's a long time ago now. All of a sudden in football years, that's a long time ago. And we've got comeback player of the year twice due to injuries. So it is a conversation when it comes to quarterback. We know it's a conversation about Tua. And the guy that's the MVP reigning right now is a guy who doesn't miss time and puts his body in harm's way. And good for him. Josh Allen is durable. Now, put Brock Purdy next to Josh Allen. There's no question why Josh Allen is a more durable product. That's simply going, that's getting a crew cab truck and a single cab. I mean, that is it. That's just, there's more room in the cabin because the guy's bigger, period. That's it. So is that the conversation? Baker Mayfield, anytime Baker's injured, I say, well, yes, ultimately that was the knock on him. I would say, frankly, Kyler Murray, if you're looking at it, hasn't been injured enough for what you would assume for his NFL career based on his size and the style of play that he has.
Right.
So is Brock now, because we do, again, elusiveness. You're not going to say Lamar Jackson is elusive. You're going to say he's the fastest fucking guy. Like, Lamar Jackson is just athletically different than everybody. He's not elusive. He's exceptional and fast and ridiculous.
Right. It's Vic-ish.
He's Vic. Brock's not Vic. Brock is elusive. But part of that is, unfortunately, turf toe.
Where we are right now, I think there's a recovery point. I really do. Again, I still believe in Brock. I think he's the right guy for the job. I might have let this turf toe reach the bye week. I would have asked Mac for a little bit more, even though I agree you can officially ask a backup quarterback for too much. I would have asked for a little bit more because A, he was playing well. B, Brock, I think, needed the recovery.
Well, wait, let's circle the game. Damon, let's come back to the point that we really want to make to identify for everybody. Don't talk about Carolina. Don't talk about the Rams game. Don't talk about any of that. circle the game and go back, everybody. Bring up, get your Niners magnet calendar off the fridge and circle the game with me that we know is the mistake this season collectively as a franchise.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Brock Purdy did not need to play in that game. It was in the window that we decided was the Mac Jones window of games. He's going to give you five games. You can get a majority of wins. Let's just call it 3-2. Mac Jones can get you 3-2 over the stretch of five games. Keep it going. Brock is inserted into a Jacksonville game, not to mention Mac Jones also with Jacksonville last season. There was plenty of reason to just stick with Mac for that game. And I haven't even discussed the outcome of that game yet. Yes, it's a loss. But also, as Damon and I pointed out, it's an AFC game. It's an AFC game. It hurts you so much less than an NFC game, than an NFC West game. It is an AFC game. It's not going to play a factor in the tiebreak. And now it's a loss and potentially set Brock back even further. It was unnecessary. We hated it going into the game and hated it that much more coming out of it. That is the game to circle if you're talking about what was done right or wrong in regards to Brock.
I think we can look at this and say, to this point, there is absolutely something a lot better than just a reclamation project here. Hopefully Brock recaptures what has had him ascend to the position of unquestioned starting quarterback. He needs to. The 49ers need him to do that. What really worries me is the next injury. Like, these things are cumulative. They stack on top of each other. And if you're telling me the turf toe is one of those, it might never get better. And I don't know really how to measure any level of nerve damage, elbow recovery. There are few too many add-ons to the list of physical things that Brock needs to worry about for a guy who isn't really built to have a big list put upon a smallish frame. So that is my concern. My concern isn't necessarily the in-the-moment performance. It's the overall big picture. That concerns me a little bit about Brock for the first time. And again, you and I think, have been not Brock defenders. I think we've been realists. I think we look at it, understand enough about football to go, this is really good. Like, you want to see a young quarterback problem? Go look at the Minnesota Vikings. That's a quarterback problem. They say goodbye. They say goodbye to Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold to get to a guy who cannot throw a ball into the water off a dock.
Based on a half of preseason football. That's tough for Minnesota. That's
a quarterbacking problem. What the 49ers have is Scrooge McDuck jumping into the pile of money level quarterback problem. This is a great problem that the Niners have.
Right now you're swimming in quarterbacks and you're going to be okay. But as I said, ceiling being what it is, you need Brock to be better than he was in the first half against Carolina for anything to happen. And I don't, and it's not about having Mac Jones in there.
You know, what also the 49ers could use? Some wide receivers who aren't total nobody slap dicks. They could use that too.
But when you say, wait, one of them truly is a slapdick.
He's got his dick slapped and the other guy got suspended for it. By the way, it should have been two games, one for each nut. Brock's passer rating when targeting a tight end is 141.4.
Yeah. Hey, don't say a tight end. Don't say a tight end.
Well, no, hey, he's throwing
it. I get it. I understand Luke Farrell and Tungus. I get it. Yeah, give me some Tungus, but don't say a tight end, Misty.
When targeting a guaranteed to be first ballot Hall of Fame tight end, Brock has a 141.4 passer rating.
Yeah.
When targeting a guaranteed to be Hall of Fame running back, he is 102.5. When targeting wide receivers, his passer rating falls all the way to 46.9.
That's impossible. I mean,
in other words, you guys collectively, you suck at this. You suck at this. You really do. You suck at this.
And the one game they can speak of, Brock didn't have, right? The Mac Jones, Kendrick Bourne's first game against the Rams is like the one standout receiving moment of the season.
Right.
Other than Juwan Jennings getting hit in the dick. Yes.
Are you concerned about this year? Yeah, a little bit of the overall year. Yeah. Here's the thing. For someone who hasn't spent much time worrying, certainly not worrying the way Niners fans want to worry about Brock Purdy all the time. I'm tiptoeing over into the
it's comparing. Look, really the season comes down to, and these are both Mac Jones starts, so it's tough to say, but the season in many ways is the Rams series, right? Like, you're capable of doing what you did in overtime against the Rams, and you're capable of showing up in a game at home and absolutely having nothing for that Rams team. And that's really, when you're talking about getting where you want to get, you got to be better than the Rams. You got to be better than the Rams. You got to be better than the Eagles. These are the questions you're asking yourself right now. You got to be better than Detroit. And a game on the schedule that's coming up now that was once a throwaway, Chicago. We'll find out Friday if Chicago's for real. They play the Eagles. But I mean, now the Bears is a real game. We know that at Indy is a real game.
I mean, the 49ers.
At Indy is a real game.
Dude, Colts, Bears, Seahawks to end
All of a sudden, right. That was 3-0. Remember 2 months ago, that was 3-0. So we'll rethink that.
We will be rethinking that for sure. Look, hopefully you don't need to rethink anything. You've already done it. Tap that thumbs up button. Sammy and I will not be taking up much of your bandwidth today. We both got kids at home. Uh-oh. We both got things to do before Thanksgiving. We both got to get rolling here. So a couple of other things that are happening, obviously, tomorrow, indeed. Thanks. And I mean it, Sammy, from my family to your family, to everyone watching, to all your families, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. The only thing I would urge everyone to do is find someone in your circle that you know doesn't have somewhere to go and invite them to your house if you are indeed hosting Thanksgiving. There's always, it's better to have food eaten tonight than leftovers tomorrow by someone who would really appreciate that invitation. If you can make someone's Thanksgiving by inviting them into your home, do so. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing to do. The football schedule tomorrow. I mean, dude, this is a really nice slate here, Sammy. We got games of consequence. Thanksgiving football starts with Packers and Lions.
Now, wait, don't move any further right now.
Okay.
I want to go back in the comments. Please tell me, have the Lions played a game on Thanksgiving this good in recent memory on paper heading into it? The Lions have been good recently. But I'm trying to, I really want to go opponent wise, Packers,
what was
Lions.
Last year's Thanksgiving game in Detroit.
Wasn't that the Bears game? That was the Eberflus fired game. That was the Eberflus, right?
Yeah. I remember it. Yeah. I scrubbed it from
That was Caleb not getting the playoff. That was the disaster against the Bears. They got Eberflus fired the next day. Black Friday was truly Eberflus's goodbye. Thanks. Enjoy. Take the leftovers with you. So that was that one. It was a good, ended up being an amazing game, but on paper going in, no. The Packers, Lions. Thanksgiving with what's happened, the fact that the Packers have already beaten the Lions this season, that is, I mean, a gift.
The thing that neither of these teams expected is that they'd both be looking up at the Chicago Bears.
That's hysterical.
Funny.
By the time if Chicago were to lose, no, that's the next day. Sorry, you're right. They're both looking up. Yeah, you're right. That's Friday, not Thursday. Yeah, amazing.
All I'm going to tell you is that Packers Lions, the losing team is not out of it, but they're going to see their playoff odds drop dramatically.
Yes. Basically,
the losing team, in order to reach the playoffs, will have to run the table from there out.
Yeah, good luck.
CBS, after the Fox game, gives us Chiefs, Cowboys. Now, there's talk that this is going to be the largest audience in the history of Thanksgiving football. If that doesn't just show you that we're all a bunch of name brand douchebags, five-win teams? Both these teams are 5 wins and is supposed to garner the greatest rating in the history of the holiday.
No, but
we'll see. I mean, but, I wouldn't be surprised. How about this? If you got a tight fourth quarter game, you go into overtime in that game, maybe, because this is a fork in the road game, certainly for the Chiefs. I don't know if the Cowboys can do anything about their playoff odds.
Well, and the number one ticket to have in all of football 2 weeks ago was Cowboys at Raiders in Vegas. And I mean, ticket to go to the game. That truly was that expensive for Cowboys fans to be in Vegas. So the idea that you've got these marquee franchises going at it, and let's be honest, Cowboys, you can consider the opponents. Obviously, the last one was a pretty good one, the Super Bowl champs, but Cowboys are breathing life into what was otherwise a really just, we don't know what's happening this season.
Ask an Eagles fan.
Ask an Eagles fan what the Cowboys feel like right now. They at least are in, they're in a conversation. They're not really in a conversation for the division, but they're in a conversation.
The Cowboys' zenith this year would be delivering a punch to the Kansas City Chiefs, which means you're not going to be a playoff team for the first time in like 9 years.
And then they would have beaten both Super Bowl participants from a year ago. That's not bad for the Cowboys to hang their hat on that in the year that the Jerry documentary is.
Jerry on ticket 1050 or whatever in Dallas is a glory hole victory. Okay, so.
And by the way, I just want to say one thing. 2 seasons ago was Lions-Packers in a very good game. That the Packers would be. So that, again, so I love this on Thanksgiving when it matters to this point.
If it's not the Leon Lett game, I don't give a shit.
Correct.
Bengals, Ravens.
Ooh.
Ravens need every single win that they can put into that win column. Joe Burrow is going to find himself back on the football field.
Great.
So there you go. That's interesting right there.
Those were two of the best games last season. By the way, the Bengals-Ravens last season, those were two of the best games of the season. I am so eager for what this could bring. I mean, the Bengals are in the same spot they were. As much as we said the Ravens can't hiccup, the Bengals, remember the Bengals put themselves in a conversation week 17, week 18, despite an awful season.
Here's the thing. Their defense this year, though, is atrocious.
It was that bad last year, by the way. They set a record last year for scoring points on offense and losing games.
How about our Black Friday game? For the first time ever, we get a Black Friday game. Is that going to be on Netflix or in one?
It's actually on Amazon. It was last year. I think it was on Netflix or YouTube last year. And this year it is on Amazon. Netflix
that did the Christmas Day thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So it was YouTube.
YouTube. There you go. I confuse them all now. Just the streamers.
Get your Roku and type in the game and you'll find it that way.
Bears and Eagles, both teams at 8 wins. If Chicago wins, basically Chicago declares themselves a Super Bowl contender with a win in Philadelphia. If the Eagles lose, there's going to be a freaking riot on Broadway. I mean, we blew 21-0 last week, and then we come home to lose to the Bears.
No. Broad Street will not be planning a parade the way they were the last season. It will be serious. It'll be serious, you know, like chink in the armor type stuff. Right. It'll be very real. And by the way, and the guy's name that we're going to hear if they lose, Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator, will be just roasted over the coals. And no matter what is the outcome, because that's the guy that they're saying Kellen Moore left and you're the difference.
I just want to see AJ Brown reading a self-help book to get him through it. So very, very interesting to say the least. Thursday and then Black Friday schedule coming up. And then hopefully everyone plans on joining us here Sunday for what feels like, man, that happened. We just had Monday Night Football. Now you're in Cleveland, 49ers, Browns, big one coming up Sunday morning. Come on back to Damon Bruce Plus for the live stream watch party, if you would please. All right, Sammy, it's the season of thankfulness. You wanted to talk about what you were most thankful for in football.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir. What are you most thankful? Because me, I have a definitive answer that is, I'm going to tell you right now, better than your answer is about to be. So go ahead. And then I'm going to wipe the floor with you.
And I'm okay. I'm okay for that. I'm ready for that. And thank you for letting me go first, because following it would really be terrible.
You don't want to follow this.
No, I don't. So thankful mostly that I've been able to talk this season about the league with you consistently. That is number one. Specifically to being on Bruce Plus, Damon Bruce Plus, to be able to talk football with you has been absolutely a highlight of this year that I cannot explain. Roommates again, this is nothing makes me more happy than that. That is what I am thankful for. Number two on the field, what am I thankful for? I am thankful for what we just said. Joe Burrow is back. And when I was watching Joe Burrow speak about football yesterday, when he was asked, why would you come back in a season that looks like it's already got 8 losses? What are you going to do? What's it going to happen? Last year, you missed the playoffs last year. You're coming back. Why? And he says, I'm a football player. When I'm healthy, I play football. And when I'm not, I'm recovering to play football. And I'm now recovered to play football. I mean, that's an incredible, that's an elite answer. That says, this is who I am and this is what I do. And don't you dare question me about it. What it also made me realize is I friggin' love Joe Burrow. There's a guy, and Damon, I'll ask you at some point, who's the guy on another team that you so fall in love with? For me, for years, it was actually Bryce Harper when he played for Washington. I was a Phillies fan, but I loved Bryce in Washington. Then he becomes a Philly. That was great. And funny enough, years ago, Vlad Guerrero as an Expo was my favorite baseball player. Then he became an Angel here, and so I got to see it that much more. And it was amazing. In football, without question, yes, I'm an Eagles fan. The guy I'm in love with, that whatever he does when I watch, I am rooting for, Joe Burrow is that guy. There's a cool factor to Joe Burrow that cannot be defined. I can't even put my finger on it. The cigar with the LSU perfect team with Orgeron, obviously that's amazing. And yes, that will forever stamp him. But
Burrow with the EUX jersey.
Yes, the Burrow is
a guy who gets it.
So gets it. And think about his journey to that place. Before we were in a world where transfer portal was just, that was just verbiage that we knew and spit out. Joe Burrow was told he's not good enough at Ohio State. And he wasn't good enough to beat out who ultimately became quarterback at Ohio State at that time. and really finds himself at LSU for what we can call now the greatest offensive season of all time in college football. And then even going into the NFL, there's just no, we know this, there's no guarantee. What you did in college very often does not translate. But Joe Burrow is definitively every bit the leader and went on the field at that level of performance and talks the talk and backs it up and got his guys paid this year in an organization that never pays anybody shit. He got Higgins and he got Ja'Marr Chase. He got Mike Gesicki paid. All right. I mean, Joe Burrow, if he's not that's a guy you talk about kidnap. You talk about watching and babysitting my kids, Joe Burrow, please, whatever your rate is, I'm interested in hearing it.
I like that. I like that an awful lot. That's a good guy to be thankful for. I got one better. Because you think you got a cool guy? I got the single greatest to ever do it in the history of the position. I'm going to tell you right now, who's the greatest race car driver of all time? It's easy to say, well, Mario Andretti, right? Mario Andretti just feels like the right answer. Let's go with Mario Andretti. No. The guy who's the greatest race car driver of all time is the dude who beat Mario Andretti driving a Honda Civic. Going back to back, undefeated at Indiana University is more impressive than Nick Saban winning 6 titles at Alabama. You are built. Alabama's built to have a really good coach win 6 titles during his tenure in Alabama. Indiana football was built to have every single wheel come flying off the car the minute you hit a bump. The single worst measurable program in the history of college football has ascended to a conversation that is Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, Indiana. What has happened in Bloomington has been poorly documented. It has not been. Kirk Cignetti right now is the single greatest college football coach in the history of the sport. Newt Rockne can go fuck himself. Joe Paterno. I don't even want to talk about fucking in Joe's program because we know who got fucked in that program. So we're not even talking about that. Kirk Cignetti today measurably is easily, undebatably, one of the 5 greatest college football coaches of all time. He has walked on water while everyone else drowned at Indiana. Forget about just swimming. He's walking on water. The impossible is happening. The impossible is happening. The blind can see. The deaf can hear. That's what Cignetti has done. So that's what I'm thankful for. My alma mater is no longer the biggest laughingstock in the history of the sport. It's unbelievable. It is not an exaggeration to say that what he has done at Indiana is more impressive than 6 national championships in Tuscaloosa. It is greater than 6 national championships.
I will say life is about really the opportunities, and it's about using the resources you're given and what can you do with those resources. And you're absolutely right. What Cignetti has from a resource standpoint versus what the programs that you spoke about actually have and what they put into it and what they raise the bar to be, it is the single most surprising thing that has happened in sports this season.
Maybe of all that, Pat Forty a couple weeks ago did a column about how Cignetti is out coaching the existing winning percentage by a greater margin than any coach in any sport on any team in the history of winning or losing on the planet.
I love that. And I also just want to point to a moment. If you've got 20 seconds later today to watch the end of the Penn State game. That's what was supposed to happen. Penn State is supposed to take all of the air out of this. That was the moment where everyone said, cute story, adorable opportunity, and it just didn't happen.
Congratulations. Instead, check yeah, the box are really good.
That's it.
The box of greatness ain't going to be checked by you guys.
To pull that out, to play. I mean, first of all, Penn State, I'm sure, had a better recruiting class, right? Like, think about what coming into the season, right? Like, let's forget.
Number two team in the country coming into the season. Okay, that's the spot that Indiana occupies right now, by the way.
There you go. That's all. That's it.
Yeah, he's going to be gone in a year. No, he's not. He just got broken off a level of money that makes other college football programs think we got to pay our coach more. And he is old enough to know, I found it. I'm in my X marks the spot place. This is not a young man with ambition to eventually, like, Lane Kiffin will be undone by his own ambition. Lane Kiffin can't find, he cannot stop looking for another dance partner. He's in a great situation at Ole Miss. Look, technically the LSU situation's better, but if you are the man.
Maybe, by the way, maybe. By the way, maybe.
In the world of NIL, LSU, Alabama, Ohio State. Look what happens in Bloomington. The right amount of money and the right amount of coaching means anyone can be great. By the way, what I love, this was pointed out this week, look at Kentucky basketball. Not nearly as Kentucky basketball now that every team in college is paying their players, not just Kentucky, right? Now that everybody gets the right paychecks to their college basketball players, Kentucky is hardly this factory of excellence anymore. No, they're just another team playing, paying your players. That's all you are. All right. Okay. I got to see.
That was great. That was great. And please,
okay. You didn't want to follow that.
I didn't at all. This was done perfectly. I feel good about Joe Burrow, and I got to just simply sit. I got to watch and applaud that.
Thank you. All right. Just saying, this is Sammy's segment, and this is a great one. Sammy, what do you got for us? What are you just saying today?
I'm just saying, and remember, just saying is a ridiculous statement. When you are saying something, everybody, you're saying it out loud, and I'm just hearing. So yes, you're saying it. It got said out loud. I heard it. The Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic trade. Which at the time, Damon, I remember you were on vacation, right?
Where you look at it this way. I was walking off a beach having just seen fish in Mexico. I was tripping. And when I looked at when I looked at the text, I thought, I'm still tripping.
Yeah. That's great.
My mushrooms are still kicked in because my phone is telling me Luka Doncic just got traded to the Lakers. Am I still on drugs here?
That is a chocolate mushroom make-believe trade. It is. Mm-hmm. And I am just saying, it will go down on something that people will probably.
I handed my phone to Jillian. I said, yes. Do you see this too?
This will be something when it is all said and done that people will probably need to take mushrooms to really dissect. This is what has happened. So I was in Dallas this weekend. I was at the Mavericks game on Saturday night. They lost to the Grizzlies. That is irrelevant. No AD on the floor, no Kyrie on the floor. Cooper Flags, great. That was fun. My point is this. And it was pointed out by someone I should give the credit to, and I'm not right now, but I found the story on CBS Sports, but the quote, and it belongs to somebody else. When it is, and it might've been Zach Lowe, but when it is said and done, when we collect the pieces, because Anthony Davis is the number one piece on the trade block right now. So when the returns for Anthony Davis come back, you can truly judge this, right? You know where the Luka Doncic has taken the Lakers this season, largely without LeBron James, who just returned recently. Anthony Davis is going to likely be traded. And that's, by the way, if another team can figure out salary dump, et cetera, and it's a nightmare to do that. But when somebody does, somebody's going to think that they're on the cusp and Anthony Davis is going to make the difference. I'm not talking about at the end of the season, because if that happens and AD does help them win, this point will be moot. But at the point this trade is made, when we see the returns for it, this very well could and likely will go down as the most lopsided trade in NBA history. And I haven't even mentioned the fact that the guy that made it is already fired.
Right.
So Nico got fired for this move already. He convinced everyone to do this, and it already has backfired so significantly as far as they're concerned that they're done with him. Thank you for having that conversation. Thank you for being bold. It wasn't the bold we wanted to be in the end. See you later. And now Anthony Davis is going to be traded for a bag of parts simply because the money is so upside down. The money that Anthony Davis is making for these seasons, where, by the way, he may be good for the next two seasons. It's looking three seasons what he is set to make. And then he's going to be looking for a new contract at 38 years old at that point.
As this good you're going to find, too. I mean, it's a disaster. It's a freaking disaster for Dallas. And it's why Clay started dating Megan the Stallion. He's like, these Mavericks ain't going to carry me. I need another stallion in here.
And that is it. And by the way, to Rob Pelinka, who I'm sure was questioned mightily, this will be his crowning achievement.
Oh, I think so. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. I mean, how could it not be?
He got rid of a champion superstar or another one, but that was not a champion in a city that loves their champion superstars. I'm sorry, that was a bold move. There were people that were upset with it. Look, there were people in LA who were upset that Anthony Davis was gone. Trust me, it wasn't just all okay. We got Luka, and apparently LeBron didn't even know about it. I mean, apparently nobody knew.
If I were LeBron, I'd say that too.
But apparently,
they asked his permission, and he said, "Yeah, instantly."
But Damon, you know who? You know what? But Twitter didn't mention it once before it happened. And I got to give credit to that, because in this world, that happens.
Well, it was the unthinkable. I mean, it was the of course, we're not going to go down that road. Of course, we're not going to go down that road. So, yeah, it was unthinkable, and the unbelievable did happen.
Just saying.
So my just saying is a little bit of a recommendation. I just watched it last night. It's only 40 minutes. And if you are a Bears fan, I think you will enjoy the HBO documentary called The Shuffle. It's about the Super Bowl shuffle. It's not a great documentary. It's not steeped in greatness. And the soundtrack of the Super Bowl shuffle basically plays for 40 straight minutes in this documentary. So you're just done with the song halfway through it. What they capture, though, is the balls it took to record that. And they were aware. They're like, dude, we're going to record this in the middle of the season. What are we, we're asking for it. If we don't win the Super Bowl now, we are asking for it, right? The most amazing thing of that Just Saying documentary that I did not, it's the only thing I learned in the documentary that I did not know. And I'm not going to give you a spoiler, because it's literally the opening scene of the documentary. So I'm not spoiling this for anyone. This isn't the X marks the spot. This is the starting point, and it's what I did not know. Sam, guess which day of the 1985 season the Bears recorded the video that came out with the Super Bowl shuffle. You won't guess it.
Well, let me just say something that would be bold, since I haven't seen this. I mean, obviously, if they have recorded it before winning the Super Bowl, that would be amazing.
They did.
Wow.
They recorded it. They recorded the song in October, and then they had to do the video so they could release the thing. Remember, this was like the first, by the way, the number one selling VHS tape video of all time is Michael Jackson's Thriller. The number two is the Super Bowl Shuffle VHS tape video. They recorded the video the day after they landed back in Chicago, having lost to the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. So they were 12-0, huge Monday Night Football game against the Miami Dolphins. I believe it's the highest rated Monday Night Football game of all time. The 12-0 Bears go to the Orange Bowl and lose. The very next day, they record the video for Super Bowl Shuffle. Mike Singletary's like, we got an obligation. We said we were going to do it. We got to go do it. And Mike Singletary led the whole damn thing, basically. But it was, I did not know that. It's one thing to say, we're going to record this thing in the middle of the year. It's another thing to say, and we're going to shoot the video the day after we lose. I'm just saying, that takes a lot of balls.
And lost to the team they were chasing for history. I mean, the fact that it's Miami, which I've forgotten in the annals of history, is incredible also. Because that's the team cheering most for the Bears not to go undefeated. Oh,
exactly. I mean, I remember I was at the ground round watching that game on Monday Night Football, eating 10-cent chicken wings with Ben Ragucci in high school. I remember that. There you go. That is our show today. We both got to run around. Sammy, hopefully you've already gone shopping. This is the worst day of the year to walk into a grocery store.
Yeah, it's not happening. I'm getting out of here and just going to hang with Levi. Like, we're doing tomorrow is on. We got Marmar and Grammy that took care of things, and we're gonna nice. and Aunt Sam, and we're gonna be okay. Yeah,
very, very nice. Today in history, we start with birthdays. Has anyone ever made more money just basically showing up and going, make some noise? Happy 50th birthday to DJ Khaled.
Good for him.
The Big Dumper turns 29 today. Cal Raleigh just had a hell of a year. And there you go. It's a very dark.
Okay. That's a good one, though. And Cal Raleigh hit a big home run. After you and I questioned what the Mariners could give us, that he did at least provide one more moment for that team that year. So that was nice.
Today in 1716, the first African lion was exhibited in America in Boston. It was such a tourist attraction that this became something that they started saying, let's bring in other animals. This joined the menagerie. And this was the moment that the circus was born.
I thought you were going to say zoo. So it's a circus. So this was the first circus, not zoo. Okay, amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Otis Bird wants that quote to be right. It's another one.
Another one. DJ, you're right. You're right.
And another one.
Great music video, by the way. That video is one of the all timers. That video for I'm the One. I mean, that's I'm the One is a fantastic video.
Today in 1789, the first unofficial national Thanksgiving was celebrated. In 1789, it was to tribute the 1621 Good Harvest celebration in Plymouth. So that's what this, where Thanksgiving was kind of born from, was an idea that they came up with today in 1789. We'll get back to that in just a second. Sammy, this is a big day for you. Today in 1917, the National Hockey League formed. The NHL formed today in 1917. Canadians, the Montreal Wanderers, the Ottawa Senators, the Quebec Bulldogs were your original hockey teams.
Thankful for that, for sure. It is the league that I say has the most exceptional athletes in the world. You have to be a world-class Olympic-level skater before the puck, the stick, or the net becomes any part of the game.
Try ice skating. Now have Eric Lindros checking you into the freaking dasher board. How you doing now? You still on your skates? You still on your skates? So we talk about like, ooh, look at that running back. Look at his contact balance. Imagine if that running back were only allowed to run on a balance beam. How would the contact balance
be? Walking on razor blades. Good luck.
Today in 1941, Franklin Roosevelt said, enough, enough with this moving, floating Thanksgiving bullshit. Today in 1941, the President of the United States, FDR, said Thanksgiving will be the fourth Thursday in November. Everybody got it? Good. So today in 1941 is the day that it was officially declared fourth Thursday in November.
So it sucked before this. Wait. So it was basically, it was 4th of July before this. It was
it could move around. Yeah. It could bounce around. Now the way they decided it. So it is truly, Thanksgiving is not a holiday. It's a calendar custom.
Okay. So I would say largely though, so that's also huge news for the NFL. I mean, when the NFL was able to then circle that in a way, because Christmas is a moving target. And obviously we had Wednesday, right. We had Wednesday football last season because of it, but Thanksgiving from a football standpoint, that locked that in a different way.
Today in 1948, the very first Polaroid was sold in a Boston department store. It was named the Polaroid Land Camera, invented after Edwin H. Land, who invented the Polaroid. And the fact that within 60 seconds, you had your picture sepia tone right in your hand. Sammy, that was the original internet. That's the original TikTok right there. That, like, could you imagine being, let me take your picture. All right, when will I see that? Like a year from now? No. Here you go. That must have blown people's mind back in 1948.
I still miss going and getting pictures developed. The mystery of what I captured is still one of those things that I'll never be able to explain to other people, really.
Right. Yeah, how do I explain the concept of something other than instant gratification to a young person right now?
How about deleting four versions of the photo before you get it right? I mean, you don't even have that option. You take one. Remember one for safety. Remember that, Damon? One for safety. We'll take one for safety because in 2 weeks we'll find out if it was good or not.
What if I told you? What if I told you that? Did you really like that show? Did you love that show? You can watch the next one a week from now. People would go nuts.
Are you wondering what happens next? Are you wondering what happens next? Don't worry. Next Wednesday, we'll tell you.
Today in 1976, the Sex Pistols released their debut single, Anarchy in the UK. It comes from the only album they ever released, Never Mind the Bollocks. Here are the Sex Pistols. That's righteous. We're going to put that out there. Today in 2011, the Mars rover Curiosity launched from Cape Canaveral. That sucker reached Mars and showed us Mars. That's pretty impressive, right? Mars? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that we have that. Again, the technology that's happening at NASA, and if there was a place around the corner from where I grew up called Rocketdyne, they made rocket ships. I used to drive by and just shake, like thinking about what they were doing in there that was beyond my comprehension. Thank you all for figuring that out.
Very cool. Very cool. By the way, let's figure out how to save Earth before we try to figure out how to colonize another planet. Because number one, that ain't ever going to happen. Number two, We need this one a little bit more than the next one. Let's stay with what we got before we look for something else. And on that note, thank you so much for watching. Hit like and subscribe. Hit that thumbs up button. And thank you. I really mean it. We're so thankful for this audience. I'm thankful that YouTube has given me an opportunity to continue whatever the hell this career is. Sammy, I am so thankful that you have reached the level that you've always deserved. You have always been the guy behind the show. And now that you're getting your due on the microphone on the LA Kings radio network as their official postgame host, there aren't many things in broadcasting that make me happy these days. That is one of them. I also saw that Damon Amendola just signed, re-upped with SiriusXM. I really like that too. When good things happen to good people that I know are good people and talented, it makes me happy. Sammy, I'm so happy for you, man. I really am. Happy Thanksgiving, brother. I freaking love you. I really do.
People, men say I love you in a really weird way. And you kind of have this, like there's the yeah and the dude that always kind of has to be a brother, you know, like Damon, I love you. Like as if I'm kissing my parents. I love you, and this is so special.
I watched Dave Chappelle do something like honoring, it was like the Mark Twain Prize for Jon Stewart. And he said something that I'm like, man, I'm going to use that when I can. I'm not here because I love you, Sam. I'm here because you love me. And I know that. And I do. I really mean it, man. You have been a great friend through my life. You've been a great personal friend, professional buddy. And now that we get to do this, I really am thankful for it. Thankful for everyone being here. Thankful to all of you. You are really my kind of crowd. You really are. Thank you for being in the chat. I hope everyone watching has a wonderful, safe, happy Thanksgiving with your family. I appreciate all of you so very, very much. Thank you. And Sammy, what are you eating tomorrow night? You going turkey? Full turkey boar? Full
I do like turkey. By the way, I've become a new adopter to ham in almost every, it's my new go-to on sandwiches. When there is good ham, I do it. And I am
smoking like a great Jew.
Yes. It's quite ironic, right? But once you discover it, it's something you're just like, okay, why? Like, I don't even care what your reasoning is. Like, this is just definitively delicious. And I'm dying.
We keep kosher, or we could keep delicious.
I'm steering towards delicious.
There you go, buddy. It's great to have you. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for watching. Thank you for joining us. Be thankful for Brock Purdy and hopefully be thankful for a better performance from an offensive line when they see Myles Garrett lining up across from them. They're going to need that. And in the meantime, please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, they're gone.